Good morning, David Madden.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well. It's good to talk with you, as always, from Black Mountain, North Carolina, where David his beautiful wife, Robbie, live after spending many years on Park Boulevard in Baton Rouge. David Madden, your take on why these monuments have such significance.
Well, they have different significances, of course, for different populations. I won't say groups, because it's far more than just a group. Although I think those who support keeping the monuments are a growing minority. A lot of the old group of people that I dealt with at Civil War Center, quite old people like myself, 83 now. So they're all dying out, and the youth, if they pick up the battle flag, they're doing it for reasons other than honoring, and they'll actually tell you that, honoring their ancestors, because a lot of people can't even trace their ancestors. And look at it this way. It's a well-known fact that Americans generally know very little about the history of their country and also about the Civil War, the most visible era. So I think the significance is that they want to honor their ancestors, but again, I think many of them can't tell you exactly who they were, except sons of the Confederacy and daughters of the Confederacy. But those numbers are dwindling. I want to point out that when I was at the U.S. Civil War Center, where we had to lock the door every day during while other buildings were open and receiving death threats, the neo-Confederates, as they were called, were taking over Sons of the Confederacy and other organizations. And I have found in the last couple of years that they've been purged because they gave the organization such a bad name. So that when I gave a speech on Lincoln to Sons of the Confederacy recently, I got a standing ovation. And there is some criticism of Southern attitudes in that speech. So attitudes are changing, and the defense of keeping the flags up and keeping the statues in place, again, are very few people when you come right down to it, but they get a lot of attention.
Well, the governor yesterday said that this is the most divisive issue that he's seen in his 10 years in public life. Passionate people on both sides of the issue, David Madden. And you in the past have expressed some concerns about destroying history. But on the other hand, I think based on our most recent conversations, you believe that the concerns for the black majority in New Orleans override the preservation of these statues. Am I right?
Yes, but there's also the question, well, people who defend the statues say you shouldn't erase history, and the Washington Post has an excellent article dealing with that argument and saying no one is calling for the abolition of history. It's a matter of how you present history, and the statues and the battle flag, not the Confederacy flag, but the battle flag, represent, give people the impression that the government is supporting the idea that these people who rebelled against our country deserve to be memorialized in public daily in front of everybody. That dwindling population I was speaking of, and the growing population of people who just regard the reason for fighting the Civil War, slavery, as so repugnant that they don't really want to deal with any of it. A good example of that from the black point of view is that there was a black lady at Williamsburg in charge of history there, and she wanted to put on a program about slavery, and blacks more than anybody objected because they don't want to wallow, which is sort of what some people would say, mm-hmm. in a history that is so painful to remember. And when I was with the Civil War Center, I found blacks generally, I tried to bring them into taking an interest, just did not want to do it, didn't want to go there. So and the thought I had today is that people who advocate public honoring through statues and the flag of the Confederacy are, in effect, saying that they are for slavery. That's one way of looking at it. I'm not making a definitive statement here. But one way of looking at it is they are saying the reason that the war was fought, slavery, we support it.
All right, but at LSU, for example, the tallest building on campus is named after a Confederate war general, Edmund Kirby Smith. The building that runs in front of the Union, Raphael Sims Road, named after a Confederate icon. The LSU football Tigers, named after a fighting unit for the Confederacy in the Civil War. Do we have to change all those names, too? Is it time to get rid of the fighting Tigers and to change the names of the road that runs past the Union and the tallest building on the LSU campus? What do you think, David Madden?
I think that is worth a debate. First of all, and probably mostly, at LSU, I think that the teachers and students and administrators presently at LSU and the alumni should deal with that question directly. And I was often given the burden by the chancellor of helping the chancellor approach the controversy of a fraternity that was waving the flag at tailgate. And that was a discussion, and that was a debate, and it was public, and it was in the paper. More of that sort of thing, I think, is needed. And if the conclusion is that that kind of overwhelming honoring of people who are regarded by the majority as traitors to our country. Now, this is not me necessarily speaking. I'm describing a situation. They might come to the conclusion that they need to do exactly that. Changing the name of the most triumphant, celebrated aspect of LSU, football, not scientists and Robert Penn Warren and people like that, but football.
That's right.
Is the one that's most out there in front of people's faces. And our school, LSU, is saying we honor those who fought to keep slavery. You see, that's clearly a way of looking at it.
Well, the LSU Tigers are named after a Civil War fighting unit, the Louisiana.
That's what I mean.
The Louisiana Tigers. So are we going to have the LSU Lions?
The LSU what?
Lions, maybe? You pick the name.
Well, no, I don't know that we need any animal necessarily, but, you know, there's controversy over naming sports outfits in high school football football teams after Indians, Native Americans, and calling them Indians. But why not really, really stand behind your beliefs, those who are pro-Confederate, and name some teams the Slaves or something like that.
God.
I'm exaggerating just to get people to think about the perception that is going around now and is worth discussing as we're doing.
What do you think? Where do you draw the line?
Well, I think that's a good example of going too far, and the way you defend keeping Jackson is that Jackson fought for the United States and was a president of the United States, and you have to deal with the fact that he did have slaves. So you balance, I think it's a matter of balancing it out in that case of Jackson. Personally, You see, these are thoughts going on in my mind, and then I have personal feelings that go back and forth. Personally, I used to think that he was a great hero, and I visited his home place in Asheville recently, and I was thoroughly nauseated by his by the fact that he had slaves and the evidence of having slaves there. So my own feelings are intellectual and personal. I'd like to point out a very positive thing about LSU and the Civil War. Why not honor T. Harry Williams, one of the most popular teachers ever to teach at LSU, who taught the Civil War, and that's why he was popular, a very popular course, who sent historians out of those classes, became famous historians. And he was from the North, and he argued a balanced view. He said there's this to consider and that to consider. Then Robert Penn Warren, people tend to forget, Robert Penn Warren wrote a great deal about slavery, and he had to deal with all kinds of his feelings of his own and examine the feelings of other people. So those are two very high-profile people. We're talking about the Tigers, the fighting group. Well, they didn't attend necessarily all of them LSU, but we had those two great teachers teaching there.
Well,
writing books.
It's curious.
Pulitzer Prize winners.
Certainly both of them were, but it's curious that north of LSU, a few blocks away, there's a street named after the 15th president, James Buchanan, and one named after the 17th president, Andrew Johnson, but somehow, some way, they skipped the 16th. There's no street in Baton Rouge named after Abraham Lincoln. I wonder why that is, David Madden.
Well, that was one of my efforts when I was the when I was heading up the sesquicentennial in Louisiana of Abraham Lincoln. I tried my best to get a street that had was sort of a no-name type street right there in front of the Capitol, and there was interest in it. There was discussion of it. And that's what I'm calling for, is discussion and debate. I want to make sure, this is not a plug for my book, except that it is. Many of my ideas, the struggling with these ideas, are in my book recently published, Tangled Web of the Civil War and Reconstruction is the title. The Tangled Web of the Civil War and Reconstruction. That's not my latest book, but a couple of years ago.
All right.
And then the other thing,
David,
I want to get to a few of these
comments.
Oh, yeah.
David's also
absolutely.
The author of Sharpshooter, a novel of the Civil War. But Scott writes, the supporters of keeping the Confederate monuments in public places are missing the point. Nobody is saying to erase history. Rather, as your guest says, we should not be venerating people who committed treason against the United States and fought for a white supremacist government.
Right. And I think why not confine it to classrooms? Starting as early as you wish in public schools and in private schools and on into college and graduate school, as with T. Harry Williams sending out historians who will write about it. You can see a progress in the rethinking among the historians. Their thinking has gradually evolved to the place where they can argue very persuasively, quoting Jefferson, Davis, and others, that slavery was the reason they were fighting the Civil War. The economic argument, the argument that was all about economics, is part of it, but it is not the only or main reason for fighting. I'm going to make, you want another call, though?
Finish what you're saying. Go ahead.
Well, that was, finished that one. I had another point later I'll make.
Well, David Madden, the Civil War Center is an example of why people retreat from talking about the Civil War. It was an accomplishment on the LSU campus, but was viewed by many as something that was divisive, and as a result, I think it went away. That's one of the great disappointments in your career.
Well, I would say not many, because I didn't hear more than the neo-Confederates who were promoting death threats. There were some who were kind of wishy-washy about it, but the majority of people were so proud of that center, and administrators and teachers were proud of it and supported it. And then something started happening. Decay set in, and it just gradually was destroyed. You know, we were the biggest presence on the Internet, and they actually took down the presence on the Internet. But I want to make sure we recognize the fact that the main source of reviews of all kinds of Civil War books, fiction, nonfiction, everything, is still on LSU campus. It's the Civil War Book Review. It's very healthy. It's vibrant. And it provides the history and other departments with a graduate student every 2 or 3 years.
Well, David Madden,
that's something.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for joining us.